Welcome, everyone. I'm just going to give it a few more minutes for folks to trickle in. My camera is struggling today, so you're going to have to either see the white, the whiteness or the side of my head. So I think you're going to get the side of my head because my attached camera is having a moment. Look at everyone. Everyone's so excited to hear about for use in library or in location. That's exciting. All right, I think we'll get started. I will put our meeting, our agenda in the chat. So welcome everyone. I am happy to have folks joining us today to talk about the for use at location feature. First, we'll just talk a little bit about our upcoming meetings. Tom, put you on the spot. Are you having your fee find meeting on Thursday?
Sure, why
Okay. All right, so the next Thursday meeting is scheduled for Fee Fine Working Group. If you are interested in joining that conversation, it is 11 o'clock EST US this coming Thursday. Next week is a holiday week in the States. We have Thanksgiving on Thursday, so we definitely will not be meeting Thursday. I am not sure about Monday yet. Are there, what are feelings about Monday? I'm not sure whether people are already going to be on vacation. Our students have the whole week off, but we're around first part of the week. Any thoughts on that at this stage? We don't currently have an agenda item for Monday,
Monday of
but
next week.
yeah.
I'm going to be off. I'm not sure. I think there's a few staff here that are taking off, but I'm not sure if Toby is going to be free to be able to attend then or not. But I'm finding a way though.
Okay, well, we will monitor agenda over the week and weigh in before the end of this week about whether or not we'll meet on Monday. So if you have agenda items, send them to us. Yeah.
So what about the Monday after Thanksgiving?
The Monday after Thanksgiving is not, I mean, it's not a holiday. It is, so I guess it depends. If folks plan to be around, I mean, we're back by then, so I don't know if there are other holidays in the other parts of the world. Well, Cornelia, why don't we touch base and figure out if we A have agenda
Yeah, we don't
items.
have nothing urgent. So Aaron says in chat, if we don't have an agenda, I say we don't create one. I agree.
Fair. Okay. Then let's call next Monday and then we can figure out about Monday the first.
I'd say the one thing we could talk about was you did table the discussion about restricted item status and how it affects requests. And I know Veg is actually trying to wrap that up. So, I mean, if you wanted to talk about that next Monday or the Monday after Thanksgiving, I'd be appreciative.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about restricted status, item status, at the December 1st meeting. I will put that on the agenda. And then the following Thursday should be the discussion of the ticket review on Thursday the 4th, I believe it is. So more to come on that. We will post in Slack. You can always monitor what's coming up in our agendas on the 2025 meeting access note page, because it has upcoming meetings, even if we haven't created an agenda page for it. So keep an eye out for that. And reminder that you can always add things you'd like to discuss to the bottom of that page, because that is where we get ideas for future. So if you don't have a particular date you want to put something, throw it on the bottom of this page, which is the 2025 meeting note page. And anything we don't get to this year, we'll move over to the 2026, because that's only a few weeks away, if you believe it. All right. Any additional things to discuss, agenda items to add to today's meeting, announcements, etc.? All right. Hearing none, I will hand it over to our folks who are going to be discussing doing a demo of the for use at location feature. Would you folks introduce yourself and let them know where you're from and where and the development team you're representing today? Charlotte, you're muted.
Yeah. Yes, I can start to share our slide deck. And we can also do a quick presentation now. We have our pictures here. I'm Charlotte Witt. I'm with Index Data. I'm the product owner for this new work, which Index Data has developed together with National Lab of Sweden. And I will hand it over to you, Kajsa.
Yes, I'm Kajsa Bettius, and I work at the National Library of Sweden as a systems librarian. And I think we have some other folks from the National Library. And
Anna?
That would be me then.
Yeah.
Yeah, Anna Olofsson. I'm a circulation librarian at the National Library of Sweden.
And I can see Andreas, you also made it. That's so good.
Yeah, made it in time. Hi, everyone. I'm Andreas Mace. I'm also a systems librarian at the National Library of Sweden. I'll mostly be on the back foot for today's presentation, but I'm here to answer any questions that folks might have. And then we have Nils Erik as well.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm a backend developer. Have been working, for example, on circulation modules while implementing reading room features, user location.
Thank you. Then I will start here.
Jo should mention that the development team is called Team Clemming. It's Index Data and National Library of Sweden together.
Yes, and we are so happy to be here. And it has been some really busy 9-10 months. So it's kind of, you know, you're a little nervous when you have to present such a big new work, but we're happy to be here. Our agenda for today, it will be a short intro. And then Nils-Erik Nielsen, our backend developer, will talk to you about the technical solution we decided going forward. And
Kajsa will walk you through National Lab of Sweden's requirements and do a demo of our new reading room circulation functionality, which we call for use at location, because there was some, you know, the PC made us, product council made us aware about that. It could cause confusion with this reading room access app, and then what was reading room loan then. So also to acknowledge that some libraries want to use this functionality in a slightly different way for example giving, lending out laptops, other devices to be used for use at location. So the naming is will probably be a little bit new for some of you. Anna will also walk you through our test cases. And then I have at the end that I would like to show you how you can set up a Rika snapshot or Folio snapshot for that matter to test it yourself. If we don't get to it because of time running, then I have added screen dumps into this slide deck. So you can, they should be quite self-explanatory, so you can set it up yourself, because we will also try to make room for questions. So, all right, a little intro. So some of you were probably involved in the small working group the Resource Access SIG had established on reading room circulation functionality. It was Thomas Trott, who was the convener of our group and did a really nice job gathering requirements from different institutions. And there's all these pages here with what was the requirements from each of you who participated in this work. So that was kind of the basis of kickstarting how to, you know, figure out the solution we were to build in Folio. We established, as Andreas also said, we established the Clemming team, which is a team, and it consists of subject matter experts from National Lab of Sweden, system administrators, and yeah, working actively in the reading room, different service points in National Lab of Sweden. And then Nils-Erik Nielsen as the backend developer and Mike Taylor as the front-end developer from Index Data. And I was then the PO. We had many UX prod features, which most of them were the original written up features by the Resource Access SIG small working group. The work we have done was for two releases. So we started off a little soft with doing a spike for how to do the implementation of for use at location. And that spike was work we did in Sunflower. And in Sunflower, we also implemented most of the new tokens for staff slips, which were required by National Lab of Sweden. And then we, of course, started write up all the JIRA tickets. While we have been working on this, then every single of the more than 80 JIRA tickets, close to 90 actually, have been tested first in NLS and index data specific test and development environment, where we test, so that works quite similar to how other teams use their Rancher environment. So the developers can push the code and 5 minutes later, the testers from NLS were able to test the code. And so this test were happening before even merge the code to master. After every ticket has been code reviewed, then again, work was tested in Folio snapshot and in Eureka snapshot. And then Anna will later come to that we also is going to test, of course, in Bugfest Trillium when we get that environment. So a lot of UX prod features we have been working on. 91 JIRA tickets have been coded, tested, and completed. And we have here, there's a link to our JIRA dashboard. So if you are curious on every detail in the work we have done, then you can go in here and everything is gathered in this JIRA dashboard. We have touched, I think it is 15 or 16 different modules, primarily, of course, in the check-in area. The circulation modules and apps. Yes, and that was the quick intro, and then I will stop sharing and hand it over to Nils Erik, and you will talk about the backend technical solution.
Thank you. Yes. So let me come on. So we started out, as Charlotte said, with the quite thorough work that the RASIC had done analyzing the requirements and imagining a technical solution. How to implement these requirements. And it's kind of complex to explain maybe in a few minutes, but you can say that the basic principle in the technical solution that was presented with the UX Prod 1595, etc., was to reuse existing components as much as possible. So that meant, for instance, reusing the existing check-in and check-out and check-in procedures, and reusing existing loans and requests. So the idea was that with every time you used an item that you had on loan in the reading room, you would check it out, and check out means creating a loan. And then whenever you left the reading room, you had to return the item, meaning you had to check it in, and check in means, as a patron, a check in means you close the loan. So in effect, you would have a series of loans, that loan objects that didn't really represent the loan as such, because maybe you had the item on loan for 14 days or a month, But they couldn't represent that because you had to return it whenever you left the reading room. So it was more representing usages in the reading room. And the problem when you then close the loan is, of course, that then it's up for checkout by another patron in the request queue if there are any others. So the a pretty clever solution to that was to then say, well, we don't close the request. We keep the request persistent, as it says on the slide. And that way the patron still has a hook on that item. Even if he closed the loan, returned the item, said, I'm done with this loan, the request would hold on to it for him. So he would still be first in queue. And next time he came in, he could then check it out again because he was first in queue. So so far so good, and it made us understand what the requirements were and what the aim was. But the problem was that this would repurpose essential components of the backend for something that they were not intended to be used for originally. For instance, the request would then start out as a regular request, but then it would turn into something else. Then it would turn into representing the loan, because these very short-lived loans could no longer represent the loan with a loan period and a due date and everything, because those properties couldn't make sense when you had to return it whenever you went to lunch. Those properties became obsolete on the loan, and instead that responsibility was transferred to the request object that you then had to keep alive for the duration of the loan. So it would have a sort of a loan due date instead. And doing that is kind of a danger zone, because everywhere that the logic expect an object like a request to have a certain behave like a regular request that is closed when the item is picked up by the patron, for instance, everywhere you would have to treat it differently. Now it by name and by property and by everything, it appears to be a request, but at this point, it's actually a loan in business logic terms. And that made would require us to do a whole lot of exceptions in the code, a whole lot of branching out. Well, this is looks like a request, but actually it's a loan, so we have to treat it differently. And that was the case both for check out and for check-in. Also, whenever you then count objects, for instance, a simple thing like going to the users page and counting loans, open loans and closed loans. I mean, we don't have all night here, maybe you can make the thought experiment for yourself that if you have a new patron that has come in and loaned three items, have used them, went to lunch, came back and used them again, used them Tuesday, used them Wednesday, and then he's not there on Thursday, and then you count the open loans and the closed loans. If they are all closed whenever he leaves the reading room, then you can imagine what those counts look like. And I think we can agree that they don't look like what you know in your heart that has happened with that patron. His loans are maybe a 1 month loan, so they are still very much alive, but you can't see that in the count. And what you can see is a whole lot of closed loans, and you know for a fact that he only loaned those three items. And that you have to make workarounds for that, and that would be complicated and difficult to explain to new developers. You would basically have to count the new request instead, but then have to explain developers and POs why you're counting requests instead of loans in this simple page. So what we then did was to try to keep the request as a request that is a request, and the same for the loans. And that meant that we couldn't just reuse check-in and check-out for tracking usages of loans, because we couldn't close the loan whenever the patron left for lunch. So what we did was simply to add a flag on the loan policy. So it's still now the loan policy is in charge of the loan, as opposed to the other approach with the persisted request. So we can add a flag there to say this is for user location loan, and then we added a simple switch to the loan object, where you could flip it back and forth, say now it's in use, now it's not in use, now it's used, not now it's not in use, and this is what we have described here on the on this wiki page, technical solution for user location. There's a bit of JSON here that shows that we can sort of flip the status of the loan, and this is a complementary status. You know, we already have the open loan and the closed loan status, but here we can also have an open loan that is either in use or is held. And to support that, we then added two small APIs that flip that switch, and some minor changes to the check-in and check-out procedures, because we wanted to, when you check it out, we're going to assume that you check it out to put it in use immediately. So we've checked it out as usual, but then we adjusted that only a little to, at the same time, say it's in use. And the same thing when the user comes back at the end of the loan and says, now I want to check this in, I don't want to use it anymore, then we set the status to return. So the composite status of that loan would be closed, returned.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yes.
I think excellent, Nils. And then we go to Kajsa. So we have a little time for her demo as well. Is that fine?
Yes.
Or do you?
Yeah. Perfect. I have no more.
So. Okay. Sorry.
No problem.
Will you stop, Sierra, and then Kajsa?
Am I still sharing?
No.
No, I'm
oh, okay.
I'm on it. I have to find it. Yes, just a little bit about our requirements and our must-haves for this feature. Our 90% of our loans are the reading room loans or the for user location. So we had some must-haves, and we need to see in the system if the item is checked out, if the checked out item is in use or if it's held on the hold shelf, and what service point the item is held at or in use at, and also for how long it will be held on the shelf. And we also have some reports that we need, for example, the hold shelf expiration clearance report for the checked out items. And we also need to do loan policy settings for the whole loan period, the whole period that the patron uses the item. And this, the whole shelf expiration period also needs to be reset after every use. And here's our workflow. So I can just go through it very briefly. The patron requests the item, and the item is collected from closed stacks. And then it's placed on the hold shelf awaiting pickup. And this is the normal request workflow. And if the patron does not pick up the request, the requested item within 7 days, the request will be closed. And here we have already have the hold shelf clearance report for this. And once the patron checks out the material, the loan starts, and the patron checks out the item to the reading room. And when they are finished, they can make two choices: either to make a final return and the loan will close, or if they want to read it another time or day, they can return it and keep it on the hold shelf. And here there's a loop, so you can check it out to the reading room, check it into the hold shelf, check it out again. And this can continue until the patron wants to make a final return or the loan period is ended. But you also have to use the material at least once a week. And if the patron does not pick up the item within this week, since using it last time, the loan will close and the staff will retrieve the items from the shelf and return it. And it's also possible for other patrons to request the item. And if the first patron has the loan is still within the guaranteed loan period, the patron can keep the material until the guaranteed loan period is ending, and as long as they pick it up once a week. And this also requires some reporting that has to be done in the for use at location for the for use at location loans. And then I'm going to do a demo of the new work. So I will change to our development folio environment. And first, you have to do some settings. And if you go to the settings page, first we do a setting in the service point. And in the service point, you want to check out and in your for use at location loans. I will now choose the main reading room service point and I will edit it. And then we have a default check-in action for use at location here with three choices you can do: keep on hold shelf, close loan, and return item and ask for action. And I choose to keep on hold shelf as default. And then you have to do a setting on the loan policy. And you need to have a loan policy for the use at location loans. And I have this for use at location. And if you edit it, you have here a checkbox for use at location that you have to check. And then you have hold shelf expiration period. We have 7 days. And this is how long the item stays on the shelf without being used by the patron. And this is reset every time the item is checked in again. And then you also have to set up your circulation rules. And we have set it up on the loan type. We have a loan type called reading room, and that loan type uses the loan policy for use at location. And you can also set it up by patron group or a combination of, for example, loan type and patron group, if For example, some patron groups can take this material home and some don't. So it's kind of flexible in the in setting up the rules for this. So now we're all set up with all the settings, and then we're going to do a request. And you don't need to do a request to do to use the for use at location. You can check it out without the request is there. And but I will show you some development we have done in the request. So I will do a new request. I already have the item barcode. And I want to request this item. And we see here that it is a reading room loan type. And this is a new. The loan type didn't display in the previous versions. And I will enter a patron barcode. And now we can see a label for use at location with a little check mark, and that says that this is for use at location. And I will save and close. And then I will also do a request on a home loan. So now we see loan type home loan. And I use the same patron. And now there's no label here that says for use at location. Yes, and then we print the pick slips, and I will talk a little more about the pick slips after the demo. And we collect the items from the closed bags. We do a check-in of the items, and the request is now placed on the hold shelf and has the status awaiting pickup. So this is still the normal request workflow, and it's the same workflow for home loans. Oh, was the wrong barcode, this one. This is the home loan, so this is the same workflow for home loans and for use at location loans. So now the patron has a notice, and they come to the library, and we enter the patron barcode in the checkout app. And now we see the normal awaiting pickup pop-up that the borrower has two items awaiting pickup at this service point. And we get the items from the shelf, and we check it out, and we take the for use at location item. So we just enter the barcode, and here we see that this is a for use at location item, and it's now checked out, but it also changes status to in use. And we can see in the circulation log that the last action, circulation action, were in use. And here we can see that it was checked out. But we also want to check out the home loan. So then we just use in the same session, just scan the barcode, and this is now checked out as a home loan. And we end the session, and the patron goes to the reading room to study the material and comes back and wants to check this the items in and come back another time. And then we go back to the check-in app here. And then now we have this the check-in action for use at location drop-down. And here we can choose if the patron wants to keep the item on hold shelf, if they want to close the loan and return the item, or you can also have ask for action. And if we have ask for action and scan the barcode, we will have a pop-up that where you can choose close loan or keep on hold shelf. And I think this could be nice for libraries that don't have as many for use at location loans as we do. So we will use the keep on hold shelf or close loan and return item. So the patron wants to keep this item on the hold shelf, and we enter the barcode. And now we see that the item is still checked out, and the action we entered were keep on hold shelf. And we can see now in the circulation log that the circulation have been the latest circulation action is held. And the patron also wants to return the check, the home loan they borrowed. So in the same session, we can just enter the home loan, and the system knows now that this is a home loan. So it will be returned, and the status is now available. And you don't have to take any action on this action. And the patron goes home and wants to come back another day, and also wants to do a new request for a use at location loan. No, new. So we do the same procedure. And the for use at location label displays here, and do the page save and close. And check in this item. So it will be awaiting pickup. And the patron arrives to the library, and we scan the patron barcode. And now the pop-up displays with two lines. The first line is the requests that are awaiting pickup. And the second line is the already checked out item that's held at the shelf. So then you have to do your math yourself and get the two items. The patron has, and at the NLS we have these items on the same shelf, but maybe other libraries have them separately. So we thought it was better to have separate lines for these different statuses. And then you just collect the material from the shelf and check out. These were the old for use at location item, and then the request, the requested one, this one. So it's the same. Just do it in the same session. And both of these items are now in use. And the patron goes to the reading room and study the material and comes back, and now they want to keep one of the items on the whole shelf. So, and this is the default value, so it will always, when you end the session, it will always pop back to this keep on hold shelf. And this item the patron wants to keep. And now it's still checked out and kept on the hold shelf. And then the other item the patron wants to close. So we'll just scan the barcode. And this item is now closed and returned and available again. And then we can also take a look on the user. User page, and if we look at this patron, we have the loans here, and then we see that this patron has one open loan, and of all the loans. There are use at location loans that are held, and that we only have one loan here, so there will be one held loan. And if we look at the loan overview, we can see that this item is held in the service point main reading room and until this cold shelf expiration time and date. And if we look at the loan detail page, we can also see the actions that were has happened with this loan, that is, has been checked out and it has been held in the shop. And we can also take a look at a patron with some more loans. Here we have a patron with 9 open loans, and 4 are held for use at location and 4 are in use. And if we click the review, we can see here that this item is held in this service point until this date and time. And we have 2 reading rooms, so we can see that this item, the last item here, is in use in the special reading room. Yes, so that was the demo of the work, and I'm going to show you also very quickly what we have done with the staff slips. And in the settings, circulation, staff slips, we can just pick one, the pick slip, the one we use. We have done development for so that you can edit it with HTML and do a more better layout if you want to use columns or tables, and you can do the images, barcode images, smaller. So then you just have to click this box, maintained as raw HTML, and then you can use HTML to style your staff slips, and you can also use inline CSS, but you can't use any complex HTML, so just very the simple, very simple solution. And we talked about in the small working group that we wanted a more complex editor for the staff slips, and this maybe is a few years ahead, so this is kind of an easy solution until we can get a more complex editor.
Maybe we can mention that there is a wiki page where we has where we have written up, Kaiser, you and I, how to set up the layout. Yes, exactly. So.
Oh yes, okay. Yes. Yeah, I forgot. We have we have the wiki page where we have written up some background, and this is a picture of our current pick slips and how. How we have, this is the work in progress pick slip in Folio. And also we have how you can do the settings, and also an example of the HTML we are using with comments in the code. And we also have added some new tokens, most of them for Sunflower and one for Trillium. And you can just see them in the presentation here if you go into the presentation later. Yes, now over to Anna to talk about the test trail tickets.
I And I'm going to do this quickly because I'm running out of time. Yes, I suppose most of you are familiar with the Bugfest environment. But we have written up, oh, sorry. I'm looking for my notes. I need to do it this way. Okay. We've written up the test trail tickets for the development presented here. And most of them are stored under circulation for use at location. And some of them in other sections, such as staff slips. As Kaisa mentioned before, the item series statements token, for instance. I believe I'm here so that the others can rest their voices a little. So back to you, Charlotte.
Okay. So you, I can just talk while you are sharing. Okay, no.
I'm sorry.
Then I do it. Yeah. Jump down here. So super quick. As I said, I have put in some slides to illustrate how to you can set up your the Eureka snapshot environment yourself. But I just want to mention that we have implemented an environment variable. So for Folio snapshot and Eureka snapshot, it is set to true. So, and the default will be set to false. So then for user location is not enabled. So in Folio snapshot 2 and Eureka snapshot 2, then they are running the default and are not supporting for user location. So if you want to go in and test, then use either the regular Folio snapshot or the Eureka snapshot. And I can see there's one slide that has vanished, so I'll fix it right after this demo. So wait, give me 10 minutes before you start try on for yourself, then I'll fix it. And that then with those comments and with the awesome demo by Kaisa and walkthrough by Nels and Anna showing that we also are working on the test rail tickets, then we have 8 minutes for questions. And if you have put in questions, might not have seen them all, but just speak up.
I can just answer the question about the notices. There are no notices sent when the item are checked out from held to in use, because it's the same loan. And I guess the fines are also calculated when the item is returned and closed and returned. So they will have no impact on the fines either. I don't know, and really know the technical solution behind it, but.
So the due date is always calculated to whatever the end due date is, even if the idea is that it must be returned to the desk by the end of the day at the latest. So then what if somebody doesn't return it?
Yeah, then we will have it's still checked out, and then we will have
so they're not getting notices.
No, not as we have talked about it right now, but that might be a development we can add to later versions. We don't use it in the current system, and we just do reports on items that are not being returned and kind of chased patron by email, and they have either forgotten to return the item and just taken it home, or they have sometimes just stolen it.
Or they've returned it at the desk and somebody forgot to check it in. Also happens.
Yeah, that also happens. Yeah, I think we also just check the shelf first and then to see if it's there and then check it in.
Yeah, I would definitely think that a couple of notices would be really helpful, both in terms of a courtesy notice. So like a normal request, right? When there's the ability to send a courtesy notice saying, you haven't picked this up yet. You know, it's going to expire from the hold shelf in X number of days if you don't do anything. That exists already for requests, and they would get that then the first time. But it would, I think, be helpful to have that be, you know, and that's on the request notices, I think. But anyway, so like being able to say, like, you've returned it, now you have another 7 days, but now it's 5 days, you to send another notice to say, hey, again, if you don't pick this up in 2 days, we're gonna send it back. And then two, yeah, the other one for places like Chicago, where we do fewer of these and more of a mix, having something that would tell the patron, hey, you did not return this thing at the end of the day the way you were supposed to. That's trickier, and I understand why that would be trickier. I think the biggest, this is all very impressive work, by the way, I don't want to be nitpicky here. I think the biggest question I've already raised in the chat, and it's been answered, which is, I it would be important to show how these are being displayed to the patrons so that they can easily tell the difference between the loans that they have that are at home and are not in fact due versus the loans that are being held at the location.
Yeah, we are working on that in Wolfind to display for how long the item will be held on the shelf and that it is a for use at location.
When we have that solution, then maybe we can do a wiki page where we do a little show and tell on how that is implemented.
Yeah. And then you mentioned reports. So how currently, right, there's the hold shelf expiration report that's built in the requests app for a regular request. So once the request is closed and this is a loan that's held, where does that, is that report living inside Folio, or is it assuming that you're using MetaDB or something else in the reporting app, or where is that? I assume that's all in the wiki. I'm just curious.
Yeah, so I can maybe answer that question. So NLS ideally would like to use the list app for doing these reports. Right now, also because time is running out for us, we are doing this for, we are solving it right now using MetaDB, but for, let's see, for umbrella leave, we have a ticket for that we will enhance the current CSV report, but we will also work on, have described a functionality for the in the list app. So there will be several ways depending on how you prefer to work to get these whole shelf clearance reports generated. But time was running out, so we right now NLS will use MetaDB, and at Chicago you also have MetaDB, so that could also be a first solution until we get this developed for umbrella leave.
Well, and I'm it's very good news because the Lists app could unlock a lot of solutions once request data is in the Lists app, not just for this, but for a lot of other needs. So that would be great.
So NLS has, I think it's primarily you, Anna, who has done a lot of work on setting up different reports here. But they need some more work until, but it will come.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I want to really appreciate all of the work done on this and for attending and showing us, taking the time to show it. This is a record attendance. I think we had 34 at the highest. So thank you to Charlotte and Niels Erik and Anna and Kajsa for your demonstrations today. It was really helpful to understand how this development is moving forward. And for all the documentation and work on the wiki and for people to refer to. So Charlotte has linked the presentation, which links out to the other documents in our agenda. Please feel free to go there. And I hope everyone has a great week, and we will see you all, some of you on Thursday, and take good care. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care, everyone.